pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Baseball Money is Fake on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by the DGen Dance. Our March Madness Bankroll Contest is back. Free to enter and $1,000 in cash and prizes are up for grabs. Plus, we've got first half under bingo. Enter both contests on the SGPN app.
Welcome to Baseball Money is Fake, a fantasy baseball podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am Blake Meyer, back again on a Monday. This is probably my favorite episode that we do every week just because it always seems like there's so much shit that happens over the weekend. And then we get into our Monday episode and there's just so much fresh stuff to talk about. Not that there's not fresh stuff on our Tuesday and Thursday episodes, but this one just always feels special. As always, I am here with my man, Ryan Gilbert. How are you doing today, Ryan?
Doing good. Had a good weekend. It's a good weather week here in Philadelphia. I went off for a walk earlier. So, yeah, I'm doing good. Got some fresh air. Feeling renewed for the week.
That's what I'm talking about. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was nice and relaxing. Watched some sports, World Baseball Classic, of course, some hockey, March Madness going on. It was a good time.
Yeah, that win last night was amazing. Watched that shit yesterday in USA, fucking killed Cuba. One hell of a game. Trey Turner is an absolute
stud. Trey Turner stud. Is a Philadelphia Philly. He's best shortstop in baseball we got, best catcher in baseball. Fantastic.
Yeah, and I love it because, I mean, going back, I think it was just two episodes ago when we did our top 12 rankings. And like we talked about, like Trey Turner was getting pushed down people's like overall rankings for literally no reason. Just no reason. And then all he's done the last two games in WBC is show people that he's still here.
I mean, I moved Turner down my rankings because there is a reason. Shortstop's deep. I mean, we're going to talk about it today with the Altuve stuff. But, I mean, there's at least 10 shortstop in the top 100 overall. Might even be 12. It's a deep position. I mean, you're not going to get the same production from Trey Turner you're going to get from anyone else. But, you know, it's a... I think that definitely rose his stock a little bit. And my draft on Saturday, I could see him going in the first few picks. I have pick two, so hopefully he goes first so I can get Judge.
Oh, there we go. My house league, we just got it filled. I got everything set up. Got my draft coming. We just did a randomized draft order early. I got pick 7. That's the latest pick I've had all year. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, it's ESPN, so you know the ADP is all fucked up. So I don't know.
It's a points league, yeah.
So. Of course it's a points league. Of course it's a points league, yeah. And so, I mean, ESPN, 7 pitchers in their top 11 for points leagues, which is blasphemous. But I think somebody like Acuna could fall to me because there is some newer guys in there, some guys that it's like buddies from work and shit like that, people that haven't really played that much fantasy baseball. So I might be able to get away with somebody like Julio or Acuña slipping, because right now on the ESPN ADP board, they are at 21 and 22. So well, yeah, pick seven, I'm going to get one.
They're not good for points leagues, as we talked about last show, because they have the high strikeout rate. So maybe you will get those guys.
I might, and I will just make it work. I will work my late round magic and make up for that, the lost points that they get from the strikeouts.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of that last episode, make sure you check that out if you haven't already, and subscribe to the Baseball Money is Fake feed. We're seeing the downloads go up as we inch closer to the season. We've got opening day next week already, so make sure you're subscribed. Turn on that auto download as well. And leave us a 5-star rating and review. It goes a long way for us to help grow the show here as we go into our first real season.
It does. I mean, we've got a lot of you guys downloading the episodes on the wherever you stream your stuff. For those of you that download it, we love you. Those of you that watch, we go live now on Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. You can find us at Fake Baseball Money on all of those, and then just at Fake Baseball on Twitter, the coolest at on Twitter. We appreciate all you guys coming and hanging out with us 3 times a week. We have a lot of fun doing this. But we got to figure out, there's somebody that I really want to talk about, because it was like a very impactful injury happening. If you couldn't tell by the title, we were talking about kind of the strategy around drafting injured players and what it means for the rest of the players at that position. I'm not going to tease it. Let's do the ad and then we'll just jump fucking right into it.
All right. Well, we were always teasing you about WynnBET. Let me pull up the ad reads here. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is now active in Massachusetts and a ton of other states. Be on the lookout for WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WynnBET Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. There are so many ways to bet on the big dance. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, for our DGens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WynnBET app. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And the SGP guys are going to be hosting a Final Four watch party at the historic Ice House in Pasadena, California, Saturday, April 1st at 7:30 p.m. Get all the details at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse. And if you're looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan at Stadium Swim and watch the biggest golf tournament in the world, you can win a 3-night stay at Circa Las Vegas to hang with the guys. The contest is completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golfparty. And if you don't win the contest, you can still get a discount on a room using promo code SGP15. SGP15.
Oh, there we go. I think something that me and you need to set on our... I don't even know how the fuck we'd work it. Me and you need to make a Vegas trip where we go do one of these episodes from the Blue Wire Studios. I think they would let us. I mean, we're on the network.
Yeah.
That would be so fun.
It's possible. I've been thinking about going to Vegas for a few years now. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm a seasoned Vegas veteran. I've been like 6 times. But, hey, the one that I teased a little bit. Also, shout out Dylan in the chat. Catfish, I see you, buddy. The person that we teased a little bit, very big news from over the weekend. Jose Altuve got hit in the hand, broke his thumb, and he's going to miss 8 weeks. And, okay, so Daniel Bard was kind of savage. I mean, I hate to let my Mariners fandom take over, but fuck Jose Altuve for one. But it was kind of savage for Daniel Bard to do that shit. Like, that was a bad, like, it got away from him, obviously, and really ran inside on Altuve and got it. But he did not apologize. He did not talk to Altuve afterwards. Nothing. He just let the man fucking deal with his injury. But I hate it for fantasy purposes, because if you've listened to any episodes or done any mock drafts, you will know that second base is the thinnest position in fantasy baseball, and it is literally not even close. There's about 4 guys. We got Altuve, Simeon, Jazz Chisholm, and Ozzy Albies that are going in the top 50 picks. And then after that, and Betts. So I guess 5 guys. But then after that, you got what, Tommy Edman and Andres Jimenez in the 70s, and then everybody else is after 100. Yeah. So losing Altuve for 2 months, he's not gone for the whole year. A thumb injury is going to fuck with him potentially when he comes back, though. What are your thoughts on Altuve missing eight weeks? And is he somebody you would still consider drafting?
Yeah, I don't even think that 8 weeks timeline is out there yet. I think that's just was what was speculated about, like a typical, or Bob Nightingale says 8 to 10 weeks of the season. Hope is he could return in May. I still wouldn't count on him coming back before June. But yeah, this second base, you said it, is already a really shallow position. Altuve was, you know, the top guy after the first round. Where's his ADP at? His ADP is at 39. So yeah, it's going down. This is getting Jazz Chisholm up even higher, and Marcus Semien mm-hmm. too. It raises their values immensely. Ozzy Albies also coming off an injury of his own, but he looks healthy in spring training. He's in a good lineup there with the Braves. So it definitely increases my case for Mookie Betts first overall. Galaxy brain take there, which I'm not going to do, but it's fun to talk about. But yeah, you want to – I wouldn't be opposed to reaching for Semien or Jazz there in the second round, especially maybe not second round, third round, especially Semien. If I can get two solid outfielders or an outfielder and like a third baseman of first two picks, and I can get Semien my third pick, especially because he also has shortstop eligibility on Yahoo. So you could get him and then get a second baseman later and just have him as your shortstop when, so that gives you options. But yeah, definitely raises those guys. And yeah, Edmund and Jimenez will be taken higher now because they're not good, they're not exciting, but they get the job done. You know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, and I mean, Marcus Semien's a guy that I took in the TGFBI and at the very end of the second round, and I was very happy with it, and I'm even more happy with it today. I think that just solidifies his value that much more. And I mean, he's a really high value second baseman as it is, and I think it's going to lead to more people actually being down to take the risk on Jazz Chisholm with the injuries and shit like that. He went from a, man, do I want to risk it type of play with the high upside to a, okay, I might actually have to take him because there's not a whole lot of other options after that. Because Altuve's ADP is already down to 39. I think yesterday it was 24. Like, what is it just today? I think I can narrow it down actually for just, or we'll go this weekend. His ADP dropped to way down.
Probably pretty low because, like, when you click on his player page, it's a chart of all of his picks, and just like the past 2 days, just dropped. Lowest 233, 214, 182. Those are probably leagues that have power more, but like 160s, 150s, 120s. So that becomes a question: is when do you want to draft Jose Altuve? Because second base is shallow. You know he'll be back at some point. It's a thumb injury. He should be back at some point. Even if that's June or July, can you make it 3 months? Are you confident enough in yourself 3 months to be like, okay, second base is weak anyway. I'll get Altuve. I'll get a backup second baseman that has dual eligibility. Like at what point to be like, okay, Altuve, even missing 3 months of the year, if he doesn't come back to the All-Star break, I guess he falls into that Harper range, but Harper's looking better and better by the day, looking like he's going to come back in May. But yeah, he's in my one league I do with some old work buddies. I'm pretty sure Altuve's still available. Actually, I'm on the clock. I forgot to make my pick earlier, but I think he's still available. He's still available at 86. I am up, and he's still there. And like, I'd consider taking him here. I already have Semien in that league, so I probably wouldn't, but I wouldn't be surprised if he goes soon. But also, it is a scary thing having an injury like this early. You know, he wasn't able to do his normal routine because he was with the World Baseball Classic. So on top of that, you know, he can get back, he can stay conditioned, he can stay with the team and all that stuff. But a right thumb top hand for Altuve probably worse. I would still probably take Altuve in the, what did you say? Was it in like the 70s?
He's 76 the last, since Friday.
Let me see what it was. Saturday night, right?
Yeah.
So just Sunday and today, there were 20 drafts. He's at 131 down there below Christian Walker, below Giancarlo Stanton, below Max Muncy, another second baseman. The second baseman after him is Brandon Lau in the for the Rays. I like him, but yeah, I would
love Brandon Lau.
I'll take Altuve, or he's at 135. I would take him easily before that, I think.
Yeah, I think the only way I'm taking Altuve is if I already have one of the big two. If I have Semien or Betts, I would probably take Altuve later on as an injured list stash, especially in a league like my home league I'm about to do has a middle infield spot. I'll stash him, and then he can be my middle infield, and Betts could be my second baseman, or Betts could move to outfield, and that's the only way I'm going to do it. If I draft anybody else, even as much as I love Jazz, if I draft Jazz, I still wouldn't take Altuve. But, I mean, 11th round is – that's pretty late for somebody that's as good as he is. He's on my do not draft list because I'm not the biggest fan of a 5'6" pull hitting fly ball hitter with an 85 mile an hour average exit velo. But I don't know. Danger didn't look good. He was really, really, really babying it. And if you watched the USA game yesterday, Nolan Arenado got hit on the hand as well. And he's tough as shit. Just shook that off. So
his thumb didn't break.
True, but he got fucking clobbered with that ball though. But it was on the bottom of his hand. So
yeah, it's fine.
Tough spot. Yeah. But moving on to the next injury, I think that's only
I want to touch on the impact this has to the Astros and specifically a shortstop. You're quite high on Jeremy Pena. Pena is now projected to lead off by Fangraphs. I could very well see him doing that. I don't know who else they would put there. I mean, maybe this they're not going to put this Hensley guy there. Chaz McCormick, Jake Myers, they're not going to put him there. I think having that Tucker, Bregman, Alvarez, Abreu middle of the lineup is great. So I could see this just increasing Pena's at-bats, which increases his value. And, you know, maybe if he shows that he's a good leadoff hitter, he doesn't move down the lineup when Altuve comes back. So this is a huge opportunity for Jeremy Pena, who I was not low on in my shortstop rankings, but he wasn't in my top 15 because there's so many good shortstops. I believe you had him 9th. You had him 8th, actually. And you know what? I wouldn't hate putting up him up there closer to guys like Bogarts and Swanson and O'Neill Cruz, Willy Adames. Because he won, what, ALCS MVP, hit a few homers in the playoffs. So he's hit 2 home runs on Friday after coming back from the World Baseball Classic. So he's locked in. Pena is someone that's definitely, I think, should be going up the charts.
I agree. He hit .253 last year with 22 home runs and stole 11 bases. And we've talked over and over about how stolen bases and speed is going to be cheap this year. So that 11, I mean, I didn't even know what kind of multiplier to put on stolen base numbers. Well, like that 11 could become 15. He hits higher up in the lineup, gets more ABs. He was at .558 plate appearances last year. I agree. I think he's going to lead off. So that's going to be closer to .660 if he stays healthy for the full year. So you're giving him like 100 more plate appearances. He could hit 3 more home runs and steal 4 more bases. All of a sudden, he's a 25-15 guy that's hitting .250. So, yeah, I'm steadfast in my ranking of him. I'm not sure if I will draft him. We'll have to see just because I've really, in my draft, been waiting later to take a shortstop, like somebody much farther down the list. But I don't hate him. He's at 110 right now. Oh, I have it for the last like fucking 3 days still. 111. So it's about the same still. So he hasn't really moved. He's going his shortstop number 14 right now. But high is 34. That's wild. Good on you for taking Jeremy Pena at 34. I don't know what the fuck you're thinking. But yeah, I like him over guys like Bogarts, Wander Franco, and Dansby Swanson.
I knew that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this only helps his case going into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. This is why, I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts on doing? Well, this is probably a whole different topic. What are your thoughts on like waiting to do drafts like the weekend before the season starts versus doing them like early in March?
The fantasy baseball addict in me loves doing them as early as possible. I think I did one in fucking December. But I normally in my home leagues am the type that tends to do it the weekend before. Like my draft for my main home league is this Friday. And that partly is because I was lazy and filling it, but also because I did wait a little bit just because I do like to see how the injuries shake out. I like to see how guys look in camp. I want to know all of that info before we draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with injuries.
Many discounts that way, but
yeah, there's less chance and there's more quote unquote skill in drafting then. All right, so you want to go with our who do you got next here on the list?
I got another hitter. We have a list of about four guys we want to talk about. But the other one would be Bryce Harper from your Philadelphia Phillies. He's looking good in his rehab. Rumor has it it's supposed to be after the All-Star break. Now it's kind of closer to the around the All-Star break time frame. What are your thoughts on taking Harper?
I've been taking Harper quite a bit in my best ball drafts as like my third or fourth outfielder when you gotta start three. He's ahead of schedule. That's fantastic. I mean, it seems like he's been a quick healer in his career. He came back early last year, I believe. So he's just continues to move up the charts, and I guess it's more of you're rolling the dice a little bit with Harper, but I think it's similar enough to the Altuve thing, where Harper right now in March, ADP 190. That seems extremely low, given the fact that he's Bryce Harper and can put up 30 home runs in like half a season. But I also understand it because that's going to be a dead spot on your roster that you don't want to draft up too high. I think in general with these injured guys, they're the type of people where, you know, I think in one of our earlier offseason episodes, I mentioned like with catchers or something, you know, I'm not going to reach for it, but if they fall to you, if they're there for like a round and you think, oh, maybe I'll take him and he's there a round or two later, just pick him, especially if there's no one, you know, in that range that's coming up that you really like or that you would prefer or like, oh, I got to get that guy. If it's like three guys, you're like, I don't really have a preference, you know, maybe just grab that injured guy, stick him on the IL and get a roster spot out of it.
Does him only really having utility eligibility, does that affect your want of him on your team, or do you just kind of look past that? Because you can only really go in the utility spot.
Yeah, I did forget about that when I was talking about it. If you have one util spot, it definitely does affect it because he's not going to play outfield this year. He has the arm injuries. He's not going to play outfield. I don't like one util leagues. My main league, we have two. So if it's two utils, it doesn't really impact it, especially because it's late enough in the draft where you know, like, okay, it's I have most of my roster filled out. I know what I'm going to need at util, or if someone else drops, I'm still able to pick them up. Yeah, I think that doesn't impact it too much.
Yeah, I mean, if last year's indie indicator, he played 99 games, so I mean, maybe a couple more than he will play if he's back around the All-Star break. But 99 games last year, he hit 286 with 28 doubles and 18 home runs. Still 11 bases in 99 games. That's nuts for realistically like only a little over a half a season. That's just absurd. So that's the kind of production you can expect when he comes back. It's just a matter of how patient are you going to be waiting for him to actually come back. And I love that two util idea. I might run that by the guys in my league and see if they're they're down for that. That spices things up a little bit, makes it a little more interesting. But Bryce Harper is Bryce Harper. He's the fucking man. It doesn't matter, love him or hate him, he's still the fucking man. That doesn't change anything. 13% barrel rate last year. He's got a 13% barrel rate for his career. He's seen 17,828 pitches and has a 13% barrel rate. Just absurd. He's been killing it since he was a kid. Now he's an adult, and he only needs 80 games this year to put up 20 home runs.
Yeah, he's just an absolute dog. And speaking of dogs, we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is heating up for March Madness. College Pick'em is a great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is busted after the opening weekend, which I'm sure many, many are. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Okay, so then we had a couple pitchers we were going to talk about. One of them's Tyler Glass now. Right now, his ADP, he's way down the ADP charts. He had a, damn it, I hate to ask this, but what was his fucking injury again? Was it a shoulder?
I think, did he have Tommy John? At something. He's at 160 his ADP is.
Okay, he was healthy coming into the year. And then he got...
Oblique strain.
Yeah, which sucks for a fucking pitcher. Yeah, you said he's what, 153? Is that what you said?
160, 159.6.
Okay, yeah. That's a tough one for me because an oblique is an injury that whether you're a pitcher or a hitter, it sucks regardless. It lingers. It's not like, you're fully healthy in 4 weeks. It's you might feel good enough to play catch in 4 weeks and then... 3 months down the line, you're still going to feel it here and there. I can really actually derail people's seasons. So I'm very hesitant to take him, even though, I mean, he's really damn good. Last year, he pitched in only 2 games. He threw 6 innings with 10 strikeouts. He's bitten by the injury bug quite a bit. I mean, he's made 27 starts in his last 3 years. 39 in his last 4 years, which is terrible. So I mean, I don't know how I could advise anybody listening to this to draft him. I don't know.
Yeah, obliques are especially tough, especially for a hard thrower, and especially for this hard thrower in particular, because as you said, he has struggled with injuries quite a bit. He hasn't thrown, he threw over 88 innings once in his career back in 2018. I mean, he's great. He's great when he's on. He has a career Ks per nine of 11.3, 12.6 in 2021 when he made 14 starts, which is a career high for him, which is awful. So yeah, it's he's someone, you know, if your league has a few IL spots and you want to stash him on there, take him in the later rounds, but. Otherwise, I'd probably rather take. I don't hate him as much as you do. I don't hate the idea of taking him as much as you do, but I think I would need like a solid pitching staff already. Where I'm like, okay, if he comes back and he's great, it just puts me over the top. If he comes back and he's okay and goes out again, it's whatever. It's a chance you take if he goes far enough in the draft.
Yeah, I'm going to have to already have my pitching staff set before I try and take a flyer on him just because, man, to get him, he's the 58th ranked pitcher right now, which puts him in a 5-pitcher league that puts him right outside the starting 5 for people. But, I mean, he's going 58th. Guys like Jeffrey Springs are after him. I fucking love Jeffrey Springs. Luis Garcia for Houston's going to have a big year. Drew Rasmussen for Tampa Bay is going to have an excellent year. Grayson Rodriguez is going 10, 12 spots after. Love Grayson Rodriguez. Kodai Senga, I know he's a little injured as well. But the dude is magical. He's going to be way better. Like, I would have rather have all of these guys so much more than an injured Tyler Glasnow. I just, if you want to get him, I would advise already having your five pitchers out there in a pitcher heavy draft. Like, you're drafting pitcher heavy, but even then, like, he might make four starts this year, and you got to hope they're good.
They will be good if he makes them, but that's the thing. He has to make them, and yeah, it's a high risk, potentially high reward, but yeah, you could go with safer options like Chris Bassett's after him. I mean, Grayson Rodriguez being after him is kind of crazy, but I guess people might be worried about like a pitch count for him, especially down the stretch in the fantasy baseball playoffs. Reed Detmers, I like there. Hunter Brown even below him, but yeah, Glasnow, he was supposed to miss 6 to 8 weeks as of 3 weeks ago. So he'll be back hopefully by May and be able, if he's healthy, it's a steal. That's the thing. If he is healthy and he just misses a month, it's an absolute steal at his ADP, but that's a high risk.
That's true. Speaking of high risk, we got one more pitcher we want to talk about drafting. That would be Mr. Carlos Rodon, the Yankees new, well, not really new at this point, kind of new prized possession. His current March ADP is 60, pretty much 66, but he's going as late as 179. He has that forearm issue. Worries me quite a bit just because even though he says he's feeling good and the Yankees are kind of trying to let everybody know, like, hey, it's not this. He's going to be okay. He'll be back. Forearm issues are things that can be a precursor for a Tommy John issue. So forearm comfort, that can be a little indicator that there might be something going on with his elbow, and the chances of the Yankees coming out before he ever gets to even pitch in pinstripes and saying like, oh, yep, new Tommy John is zero, even if he needed it the day they saw that he was hurt. So I don't know how to feel. Who is it that we talked about the other day? You asked me if I would draft them, and I said, I don't think I would draft them, but I would let somebody else draft them, and then I would trade for them when I see how they pan out. I don't remember who that was.
Oh, I don't remember, but it was
That's how I'm feeling. That's how I'm feeling about Rodon too. I don't think I would draft him, but I'll see if he comes back and he is healthy, I'll make a move for him.
Yeah, I could see that with him. It sucks because he was also someone that I drafted a bit in best ball before his injury. I don't. What his ADP now? It's tough because as 66. You said, forearm things are tough. I wouldn't draft him 66. I mean, pitchers after him, Manoah, Zach Gallen, Yu Darvish, Framber Valdez, McKenzie, Robbie Ray, George Kirby, Joe Musgrove, even, who we're talking about next, Severino, maybe not Severino, but like, yeah, Rodon, he's not throwing. So like you have 178 innings last year. He hasn't thrown like a ton of innings in his career, but yeah, you want to see something before you take them, and you're not, unfortunately, unable to. So, yeah, I think your strategy, if it's an active league, try to trade for him. But I'd take him a few rounds after that, but I'm not paying up for him at all.
Yeah, by saying I wouldn't take him at all, I mean, like, if it was 10th round and Rodon was still there and I already had maybe two or three pitchers on the roster, I'd probably take Rodon at that point just to see how it goes because the upside is there. I mean, if he's healthy, he led baseball in K9 last year at like 12 for an entire season. He isn't really I'm going to pitch over 150 innings in a season type of guy. Only done that a couple times. But, I mean, if he's healthy, he throws 165 innings this year with elite strikeout stuff. He's good for your ratios. His ERA could take a slight hit just because he plays in that Little League ballpark in New York. So he'd have an ERA similar to like what Garrett Cole has, maybe like a 3-2 ERA or somewhere around there, a 2-9. He's not going to have the 2-1 or any of those super low ones. But yeah, like you said, Manoah going after him, Zach Gallen going after him, Darvish, Valdez, Tristan McKenzie, who I absolutely love, Robbie Ray, who... a fucking strikeout machine. Robbie Ray might lead baseball in strikeouts this year. Hot take, but I'll take it. I love it. He's lighting people up in spring training, and it is just spring training, but I had to slip that in there because he might lead baseball in strikeouts in spring training. I haven't fact checked that whatsoever, but it could be true.
Yeah, after Craig Verdon is throwing now, he's back throwing on Saturday, threw five soft tosses from 30, 45, 60, 75, and 90 feet. So he said that there's no discomfort. He felt good, according to this NJ.com article I'm reading, trending in the right direction. He'll know more in a few days, but yeah, it'll probably be out till May. It's I do like him a bit more after he said after that, but and by my draft, there'll be more info on him. So he might be someone that I'm willing to take, you know, if, but I think with my draft strategy, I wouldn't take him.
It's same with mine. And yeah, I mean, like I said, he's got the stuff, so he's not a terrible pick, but I would probably wait later than most people.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Joe Musgrove, I think he's closer to returning than anyone we've talked about.
I think so. I'm trying to find him on the ADP right now.
He threw a bullpen session, could begin to face live batter, live hitting on, that'll be his next step. Then said, tossed a bullpen on Sunday and underwent imaging. He has the broken toe, right? I read something where he's like,
yeah, weightlifting accident.
Yeah. So I think he wants to get back there. He'll get back there. What's his ADP at?
Like 105.
Okay, that's probably
90. What's it at? Yeah, 105. That's about right where I would take him.
Yeah, I just don't want to see. But I mean, he's had two seasons in San Diego now, and they've both been pretty good. ERA 3.18, 2.93, won double digit games. Yeah, I kind of like Joe Musgrove this year actually. Case per nine above 9.10 2 years ago. I think, you know, he should get more wins with that lineup. It's a better team. Apparently they may look to do a six-man rotation to ease him back, which will help. So yeah, Musgrove, I don't think I'd take him above Rodon, but I would take him probably around his ADP.
Yeah, I think so too, because I mean 105, that's like ninth round. And he's got excellent stuff. He's an innings eater, throws a lot of innings. His slider is elite. He had a 2.17 batting average against on a slider last year. And like you said, like just double-digit wins last couple years, low 3, high 2 ERA with a 9K. And San Diego is like the second best pitcher's park in baseball, so he's pitching somewhere that's beneficial for him. And he's got a lineup behind him that's going to put up a lot of numbers, lead to wins, which isn't something you can count on necessarily in fantasy baseball, but it helps for a pitcher and it helps their confidence too. So he should be good this year. And it says he's looking to come back April 6th, which is at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I like him. I don't know if I like him better than anybody above him or behind him. I think he's perfectly placed at 105. Like that's an injury, kind of just a freak injury that isn't going to have any lasting effects on his season.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's a solid tier of pitchers. I'm hoping I can get like two or three from that, like Tristan McKenzie down to probably Logan Webb or Chris Sale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Blake Snell, Logan Gilbert, Hunter Green in there, Musgrove, Kirby, Ray. I think those are guys I'm probably going to end up possibly being my aces.
I like that strategy. And another thing I like is the fact that you guys are listening to this and watching us live right now. Again, if you are listening and you want to see our faces and not just hear our voices, you can check us out on Twitch and YouTube and Twitter. Fake Baseball Money on the first two, at Fake Baseball on Twitter. And if you're watching us live, this is episode 49. We have 48 episodes that we did before this that you can go check out. They are all on Apple Podcast, Spotify, literally anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find us. I think the metrics told me somebody the other day found us on their Amazon Alexa. So we're literally everywhere. You can go check us out. And I wanted to tease. So tomorrow's episode is our episode number 50. Pretty big episode for us. Milestone, if you will. And we have a recurring guest coming on tomorrow. We have, should I say the name or should we just leave it at that?
Yeah, I don't know if he's, doesn't recurring mean like it's like over and over? It's like a set
schedule. It's the second time.
It's a repeat guest.
It's the second time. Repeat. True. It is Nick Pollock from Pitcher List. Somebody we've been lucky enough to kind of form a relationship with. He's an awesome dude. He just won 2022 Fantasy Baseball Writer of the Year. I know he came out with a new metric that is taking the fantasy baseball world and just the baseball world in general by storm. His POV plus. We'll have him talk about that, kind of break that down as well. We'll talk pitching. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a really good episode 50.
Yeah, I love his stuff on Pitcher List. Whenever I have time to look up who I should take, I check his list, read the notes. Always read the notes, mm-hmm. as he emphasizes. Because yeah, it's great stuff over there for starting pitchers, and I'm excited to talk to him ahead of my draft.
I'm as well. But I think that's going to do it for today. We thank everybody for watching and listening. You can catch me on Twitter at Buhlocke, BUHHLOCKAYE.
And you can follow me on Twitter at R. Gilbert, SOP.
And we'll catch you guys next time.